praise. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings 22, beginning of verse 1. I'll be reading out of NIV most of the night today. Just follow along. Hallelujah. 2 Kings verse chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. Josias was eight years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah. And you got to slow down for me there just a little bit because I'm reading off that back screen right there. Adiah, she was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, a son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go unto Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought unto the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have compelled or collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord. The carpenters, the builders, the masons, also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read the book, read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king Hilkiah that the priests have given me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the secretary of Ishiah, the king's attendant. "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." We're going to talk a little bit this morning about a time of restoration. Amen. Lord, we pray today for your spirit to minister and bless and restore, Lord God, in us, Lord, what your will and purpose is, Lord God, so that we can move forward in revival. God, that we can move forward in the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, as we give ourselves over to you, Lord, to restore us and help us to follow your path. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. in the course of living for God, we find it's possible to allow some crucial things to slip away. Revival is a time of restoration of those things that have been lost. Amen. 2 Kings 22:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. Josiah is an example of one who chose to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. We can have revival among us personally if we just simply follow God's ways. Amen. If we just simply get a hold of God's precepts in our own walk with God, we can have a move of God among us. The culture of and society of this day declined unto evil was the order of the day. Hey, they allowed it to pervade their lives. They did not choose to get it out of their lives. They just lived in it and brought it a part of their lives and began to follow the ways of evil. What a difference a decision can make. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It takes deciding that I'm going to follow Jesus.
Yes,
that I'm going to walk with God. It just takes a simple decision that this book is true, and I'm going to listen and follow the examples written in this book. It's a way, it's a road map. Amen. And if we can simply just understand and begin to do what God is calling us to do, we can have revival in us. God can change things in our lives. Because of a wrong decision by the men sent to spy out the promised land, a whole generation died in the wilderness because of unbelief. God had already spoken to them. You have the land is yours. Just go check it out. Where did they mess up? Where did they get their eyes off of what God had spoken to them? He said, "You go possess the land. It's all yours. Everything there." And when they went, they saw. They allowed fear to get grip in their spirits. And fear caused them to not hear the word of the Lord. And they got their minds off of what God had told them. This is yours. It's for you to see and hold and have it in your possession. But somewhere along the line, several of them got their eyes off of Jesus, off their God, and what he had spoken to them. Jonah, his first decision found him in the belly of a big fish. His second decision changed the destiny of the city of Nineveh. He made a mistake, but when he got it right, amen, a whole city was transformed by the power of God. Amen. They decided to change their route, the way that they were heading, the spiritual downfall that they were about. Amen. They changed their way, and it even upset Jonah. What's going to happen when your loved one is saved? Are you going to still live for God the way you live right now? Or are you going to walk in the comfort of what you're doing now? Because it changes when they come in. I've seen people get discouraged when God saves their loved one. And they end up losing out with God because of something they had prayed for. Truth be known, they're probably jealous of what God's doing in their life. Lucifer's decision to follow the dictates of pride cast him from position next to God and brought him down to the grave, to the depths of the pit.
Yes, sir.
One decision. One decision. What is your decision today? Are you sold out? Are you in this thing? Or are you got one foot here and one foot here? And you can't decide where my life is going to be. What world do I really want to live a part of? I like what I feel here, but I like some things over here. And we haven't fully made a decision to give it all to God and live for Him 100% sold out, saying goodbye to the things of the world. God sees your heart today. He sees the heart of the faithful, and He hears the cry of the oppressed. Amen. God knows where you're at today. He knows where your heart lies. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send plague among the people, if my people, who are called by my name. If there's anybody called by our name, his name today, it's the people of the apostolic movement. Amen. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. It's when we make a decision that I am going to turn from evil, turn from what has gotten a hold in my spirit, what has gotten a hold of me, and I'm going to turn from it because I know it's not of God. And I'm going to make a decision that I am going to live for the things that are right in the eyes of God. I may have messed up. I may have allowed that to get into my life, but I'm going to change that. I'm going to Nineveh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I'm going to possess the land. Restoration is available to the backslider today.
Yes,
amen. God wants to restore you. Amen. He wants to take you further than restoration.
Right.
Amen. He's got a greater thing for you today. With the ascension of Josiah to the throne of Judah, a time of restoration began. You need to let God restore you today. Amen? Amen. And that's simply an act of surrender. I'm not going where I should have. I've not been going doing the things that I should have. But today, I'm making a decision in my mind that I'm going to follow Christ. That I'm going to follow His statutes. I'm going to walk in the presence of God.
Yes.
And today I'm going to make a change.
Amen.
And God from today will begin to restore the things that are precious to you in your life.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. Today is the day of restoration. It's available to the backslider. It's available to anyone that has walked away and has allowed the presence of God to grow cold in your life. Today. Revival is for the righteous. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not righteous, but God in me, amen, makes me righteous. Amen. He cleanses me, amen, from all unrighteousness, amen. If I can just allow Jesus to come into my spirit and get rid of the decisions that I've made in the past and begin to walk with God, God can do great things.
Amen.
2 Kings 22:2 says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the way of his father David. Not turning aside to the right or to the left. His mind was steadfast, unmovable. Amen. It was set like a flint on Jesus Christ. And he had decided that nothing was going to change his mind. Nothing. It's what you got to do, my friend. You've got to make your mind up. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on His laws, His precepts, and the things that He puts in His Word to guide us and keep us, and keep them there and walk with God.
Hallelujah.
Believe God that He's forgiven you of your sins, and believe in the power of the blood. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. Amen. Power in Jesus Christ to forgive all sin, all unrighteousness, everything that hinders us in our walks with God. There's power in Jesus Christ today.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Abraham in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe in Jesus and walk in His righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25. And if we are careful to obey all the law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. It's simply obedience, my friend. Obedience to the plan of salvation. And after that has happened, then you begin to walk in that obedience. And everything that the Word of God shows you, you don't just chuck it aside and say, that's not for me. I don't really want that in my life. If you begin to walk in that, what God is speaking to you in, I'm here to tell you that God will begin to restore you.
Amen.
Amen. He'll begin to restore the power, the peace, everything that you need.
Yes, sir.
There's power in His righteousness today. Hallelujah. The revival that occurred during the reign of Josiah was a revival of righteousness. He believed the Lord and obeyed the Lord. That's simple. Amen. Hallelujah. God has a plan. We just got to obey Him. Amen. God has a way. We just have to obey and follow in it. Walk in the plan and ways of God. One thing he did, he sought the Lord. Amen. Salvation is not the end all. Receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name, repentance, all those things, that's not the end. That's the beginning.
Amen.
When you get that, then you begin to walk with God. God begins to talk to you. Clean this out of your life. Take this out. Walk this way. Talk this way. Act this way. Go here. Do this. Do that. God begins to lead you, amen, into righteousness. Hallelujah. We got to keep that fire burning in us. We got to keep that anointing burning in us so we can hear the voice of God. But when we choose to walk in unrighteousness, that voice is far from us. And we can't hear the Word of God. And then we take on all these things that are evil. We allow them to creep into our life. But I'm here to tell you today, you can restore that. You can restore what the cankerworm and all those things have eaten. And you can have complete restoration by one choice today. I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. When Josias began to seek the Lord met him where he was and led him into more truth. You got to let God meet you right where you are. You don't have understanding this morning? Tell the Lord that. How many of you understood this Holy Ghost thing when you first received it? I still don't understand speaking in tongues. But it's God's design. It is the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon us. And I definitely felt what happened to me when I received it. Amen. I definitely knew that it changed my life. Amen. I don't even care. Because it worked. Amen. It worked. I'm here to tell you, the power of His Spirit works. Amen. It is the power to help you change your life. It is the power to give you strength to not do and act and talk the way you used to talk.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Amen. Amen.
But I've been led into more truth since I know the Lord. He has opened my understanding to more scripture. Oh, that's what that means now. Oh, I see that now. That makes so much more sense. That stuff was blinded to you before you knew Jesus Christ, before His Spirit got with inside of you. And that stuff didn't mean a hill of beans to you. You didn't understand it. It didn't make sense because the Holy Ghost didn't open up your understanding of His power and His anointing. Hallelujah. His presence inside of you will open up some understanding of greater truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is wanting to restore and give you life. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I have to make the decision. I have to turn myself back to God. I have to quit doing some things in my life. That's what repentance is all about, is saying enough. I've had enough with this life. I've had enough with this way of living. I've lived this way too long, and I'm going to change that today. I'm not going to do what my flesh wants to do anymore. I'm going to make a decision to walk away from that old life. And I'm going to give it to Jesus Christ. And God's going to help me. Draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse yourself. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Is unstable. You can't figure out what which way to go, because your mind is here, and it's your mind's over here, and your mind's in two different worlds. So life cannot be stable. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll stand on the rock, Jesus Christ, this morning, if you'll get your spirit, your flesh out of both worlds and stand on the rock this morning, God will restore your mind, and He will help you have a single mind.
Yes,
amen. One that's set like flint on Jesus Christ, and one that believes in the power of His Spirit. Amen. And you'll begin to see God restore and change the direction of your life.
Yes.
Set your heart on God today. Get it off of the things that have pulling you apart. Get it on Jesus Christ. The great awakening of the 1700s and the early 1800s is now history. But like the history of Josiah's time, it provides us with a pattern of revival.
Yes, sir.
During the 6 years preceding 1800, church membership on America's frontier declined, while at the same time the population increased significantly. This was disconcerting to the leaders and members alike. But churches and pastors did not merely wring their hands. They clasped them in prayer. They got on their faces and began to pray. and at prayer meetings, at worship, and at national conventions in 1798, the Presbyterian General Assembly asked that the day be set aside for fasting, humiliation, and prayer to redeem the frontier from Egyptian darkness. Seeking the Lord is always the first step to revival. Amen. If you got things going on, you got things you're not understanding, how they've crept into your life, it's time today to stop. Get your focus and say, God, I'm not where I need to be. I'm going to make a decision today to get out of this place that I'm in. And I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to pray until you direct me. Until you give me a clear vision. Till you give me a clear mind as to where to move forward from this point. Amen. Because I'm tired of doing things my way. That's revival, my friend. That's God saying, okay, just hold on now. Let me lead you. Let me take you. Let me guide you. They purged the land. 2 Chronicles 34:3. It says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah, poles and idols. Like Brother Hurt said, we gotta go clean house. Anything that is not of God in your home, go home and clean it out. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're double-minded in your home, stop. Clean it out. Get it out of your life. Get your mind set on Jesus Christ. Amen. Find a place in your life to put Him first. Make Him center of attention. And I'm here to tell you that life will become normal as it should be in Jesus Christ. Seeking the Lord will always bring revival. Amen. Seek Him. Trust in Him. Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We need a renewing of our mind. Amen. Colossians 3:8-10 says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Listen up. Anger. It's not of God. Rage. Malice. Slander. Filthy language. If you're cussing, stop. It's not of God. Prime example of that was when Peter was standing nearby when Jesus Christ was getting ready to have his trial, and the little lady come up to him and said, wait a minute, weren't you one of his disciples? I thought we seen you with him on awful lot. And he denied and he denied and he denied. You know the story. But it got to the point where he had to cuss. Said some language that was not of God. And they're like, oh, no, you're right. You're not one of them. Because they knew that those people that were of the way didn't talk that way. He knew the people of the way didn't say those type of things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He identified with the world. Come on. Because he didn't want to be identified with Jesus Christ. And God had told him that. You're gonna deny me. Do not lie to each other. God hates a liar, my friend. I don't care if you're doing it in secret. God hates lying. He don't care if it's a little white lie. Just a little fib. It's a lie. He cannot stand lying. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. You've put on Christ. You were baptized. You put on his name, baptism, the cleansing of sin. Amen. And then you received his spirit. You have put on Christ. Amen. And now you are free.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
To have righteousness.
Yes.
Not of thyself, not of yourselves, but of him.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Spiritual restoration cannot occur until we first purge sin from our lives and from our congregation. We've got to get it out. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to rid ourselves of things that are not of God, attitudes and hearts and minds and spirits that are not godly. I want revival. I want God to move. I want God to touch hearts. Amen. I want God to fill people with his spirit. Amen. Change their life. Amen. People to be healed of God, of their diseases and their infirmities and all of those things. But it takes a church that is set like flint and say, I'm not going to allow sin to creep into my life. And if it does, I'm just going to rid myself of it. I'm going to repent. It's simple, folks. Just repent. Get that out. Change your direction. Change your mindset. Walk with God. Revival of sacrifice. Money. The work of God requires money. It's what helps the world go around. Amen. Money helps you, right, in your life. It makes your world just go a little bit better when you have some of it. Amen. It's not a bad thing, is it? Money is tremendous. It's a great blessing. 2 Kings 22:3-4 says, in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, and to the temple of the Lord, and he said, go up to Hilkiah the king, priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Let God speak into your life today. Amen. A new commitment of surrender of your finance to God. Not to me, to God. When Josiah began the collection process is unknown, but by his 18th year on the throne, there was sufficient money in the treasury to begin restoring the temple. He probably began to preach about giving and the blessings of giving. Amen. Josiah was leading the people to revival and restoration to the kingdom of God. And an important step was surrender of their finances to God. Is your financial life surrendered to God? It's a condition of our heart. Amen. It's a condition of our heart. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You want to see what's most important in your life? Open your checkbook. Look where you spend your money. That'll tell you exactly where your heart is. What's most important to you? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The believers considered it a privilege to give to God. Amen. They were sold out. Yes. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What kind of measuring cup are you using to the things of God? Here, God, here's a little bit today. Are you willing? Say, God, how do you want it? To you. God, I need your mercy. I need your everlasting presence. I need your glory. But this is all I'm going to give you. Come on. We want his mercy. We want his goodness. We want his blessings. We want his forgiveness. But we're not willing to give God very much of anything. I'm not sold out to this, God. I don't believe that you can take care of my situation. So here, just a little bit. That's enough for me. They got sold out and built a temple of God. Amen. That kingdom was sold out to the things of God. The work of God requires effort. Restoration of the temple would not have occurred on its own. Amen. Amen. Right. What happens here doesn't happen on its own, folks. Amen. Amen. It takes finance. It takes money. It takes time. It takes effort to see God's power and his presence move in this place. Amen. It takes people willing to give of themselves. It is God's plan for souls to be saved and inducted into ministry. God wants to make you a minister today. He wants you to be involved in the kingdom of God. He wants you to have a place in his kingdom. He wants to know you on a greater scale. Amen. He wants to pour himself through your life. We need a revival of the word. Amen. Psalms 119 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." And Psalms 119, 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen. Come on, get into the word. Amen. And don't just hear it from the pulpit. Amen. When you hear it preached, go home and look it up. Search it out in your own life. Amen. See if what I'm saying is true or not. Amen. See if this thing is righteous and true. Amen. Don't just take my word for it. Search for it in your own life. Go home and look it up. Find out, is this what this man's preaching, truth? The Holy Ghost wants to move in your life. He wants to touch you and bless you, but he wants you to read the word. He wants you. That's what happened in the dark ages. They hid the word. Nobody was allowed to read the word. And when they opened it up and they made it available for everyone to read, people began to start seeing, oh man, this word, it's for me. It's just like it was then. Amen. We need to get back to that. Amen. Where the word of God, it changes our life. Amen. That's what started happening. And that's how we found out that the Holy Ghost is real. real. The presence of God, forgiveness of sins is real. Amen. We can walk in the power that they did on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Because the Word began to shine its light upon our life.
Amen.
Let His Word speak to you today. Amen.
Amen.
Let God's Word talk to you today, and don't just chuck it aside. Don't just throw it over your shoulder to the person behind you. Say yes to God. Say yes, God, that word's speaking to me. And I'm going to get it right in my life, God, because I want this thing to go forth and do great things in this area.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the anointing that's in this place, God. Help us, Lord, to allow restoration into every soul, mind, and spirit. God, we want the power of your spirit to be renewed among us, God. Bless us today in Jesus' name. One more thing. When that friend or family member of sinner or whatever person that you bring to church, the best thing you want to see them do is walk to an altar and repent of their sins. Turn their life around. What's any different from the church? When I've got something in my life that I need out, I need to come to an altar and repent and move on and not dwell on it and not say, I can't go on anymore. I can't get this out of my life. No, that's not the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God is to restore. God is going to restore us. We're going to have power. We're going to have revival. God bless you. Take a few moments. Greet